Welcome back to Podcast Recovery, everyone. We're your hosts, David O.
And Miranda G.
I love that. I like that. It's the first time for Miranda, so welcome.
Sounds good.
Smooth. Thank you. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Good.
Neither do I.
We're totally
yeah, it is. Does anyone?
No.
Does anyone? No. All right. Today we're joined by our very special guest, Matt. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's Saturday. It's beautiful outside. Can't complain.
Yeah, not bad. It's a good fall day.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Columbia. Ellicott City.
Columbia, Maryland. Yep.
Howard County.
Mm-hmm.
Hazard County.
Hazard fucking county. Get out of here. Only hazard we have is dropping a roach. When were you first introduced to recovery?
First introduced to recovery, I was 19. And so that would have been a long time ago, 1982. No, so that would have been, year 2000. Nice. 2000, yeah.
And how long have you been clean?
So right now, on the 24th of this month, I'll have 2.5 years.
Fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. It's been a journey.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a journey.
With all that out of the way, I'm turning it over to you to share your story with us. So take it away, buddy.
All right. Well, as everybody knows, my name is Matt, and I'm an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt.
Hello. Hi, Matt.
Hello. So I don't know where to start, but I guess I'll start at the beginning, as they say. So I grew up in a kind of a middle class, upper middle class in the beginning, neighborhood, childhood. No real issues until, you know, like middle school, late middle school. I was...
When you heard The Grateful Dead for the first time.
Exactly. The first time I heard Jerry, yeah. That was it, when I was like 5. So when I was in third grade, I was diagnosed with a learning disability. And, you know, it affected me personally and through my education years, because when you're diagnosed with the
ADD,
it has a really long, complicated name that I can't remember.
Okay.
So It's basically like things go into my brain, so I can absorb everything, but when it tries to come out, there's like a brick wall. So Like if you ever notice, like, you know me a long time. Like sometimes I'll stumble over my words.
Yeah.
Like the words in my head.
I thought you were just fucked up.
Well, that was a lot of it.
That
was
like 99.9%.
Yeah, that had 99% of it. But no, so like all the information goes in, but it's hard for me to get it back out.
Okay.
So there's like a blockage kind of thing. Okay. But so it takes me a little bit longer, and then there's reading comprehension issues.
Google
and
it, Eric.
Writing.
You need to be like partitioned. Like what's going on in your brain? I'm just asking.
It was the 90s. They just loaded him up with Ritalin and called it a day.
I wish.
Like, if it's not, like, well, but I mean, there could be, like, there's more than just ADHD, isn't
so it? It was never a medication that I needed to be put on. It was just, I needed extra learning. I needed extra time on testing.
Dyslexia, I don't think you can be on medication.
No. So, it was all about relearning. It was a different way of learning for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I had special tutoring. Mm-hmm. I was able to get longer time on tests. Like, that. I didn't have time limit on tests and quizzes. I had extra studying time and stuff like that, but I was also placed in special education classes. So that's where the problem ensued, is that, you know, I was singled out and I was picked a lot, you know, from third grade all the way through high school, all the way through
when I left in the 90s. All the little kids are calling you a sped.
Yep, sped. And that still to that day makes my skin crawl. You know what I mean? It really does. And they were nasty. They were fucking nasty. No,
kids are awful, dude.
You know what I mean?
Kids are the worst.
Yeah. So, and, you know, so from that point on, you know, for the first couple of years, I didn't really know because I was so young. I was in third grade. I didn't really know. So once I got into middle school, I was starting to find out, like, I was being singled out and I was being picked on. And I didn't fit in with anybody, you know, because the kids that I was in class with, a lot of them had severe disabilities, you know, they were literally mentally retarded, that we had people on the spectrum that couldn't speak. And I was placed in those classes and those, you know, so I was considered that group. So it was very hard for me to branch out and to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a shy guy as it is.
Yeah.
But I think that has a lot to do with it. So I started, like, sixth grade was the first time I ever used. And I was trying to, fit in with the crowds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is the cool guy. These are the bad kids. These are the jocks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I fell in with the bad kids because they were the outcasts too.
Yeah.
So I started hanging out with this kid and, one thing led to another, and
was it a drink?
No, first time I ever used was marijuana.
Okay.
Yeah, first time I ever used was marijuana, and you know, a lot of people say they don't get high their first time. I got
dude, I got high as shit.
I got fucking blazed.
Did you get high your first
Absolutely
time?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I did. Like, I got fucking
people
blazed.
People don't know how to inhale.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah, it was also that's a joint rolled by like a 14-year-old girl in private school. Yeah. So I like, you know, had like a little bit of rolling paper.
Yeah. Might not have even been weed.
Yeah.
Could
have been oregano or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great time, but I was not high.
Yeah. No, I got, yeah. I got fucking blazed.
Yeah.
And we did it like in the woods outside of school.
Of course.
In Burley Manor, which is in Elk City. Mm-hmm. But so it was just us and we got fucked up and we went back into the school.
Yep.
And we're hanging out in the atrium of the school and here comes the principal of the school.
Oh, yeah.
And our eyes are red. We're giggling. Yeah. We're laughing. He comes out and he knows immediately we're fucked up.
Yeah.
So from the first time I ever used, I got caught and I got in trouble.
You suck.
And it didn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, that was fun. I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it made me feel good. You know what I mean? It took me out of myself. And I felt included in something and with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have an older brother who's 18 months older than me. And I'll get into that part of the story. But he was also influential in a lot of torture and hatred towards me.
Mm-hmm.
So that also included, you know, so I didn't really feel close with him. I didn't feel close to my, I didn't have any friends. I was very accepted by my family.
So is your sister younger?
My sister's older. I'm the baby.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But, you know, my sister's 5 years older. She was in, you know, she was already in high school by that point. You know what I mean? She was going through her own trial and tribulations there. But she's always been supportive. My parents have always been supportive. My brother, like I said, I'll go into that later. But, you know, so for the first time, I was like, wow, this is great. I don't fucking have, I don't feel like myself. I don't feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which that's what we all strive for is to fucking fill that hole. So, you know, it didn't progress very fast. You know, I was in sixth grade. So then I started drinking a little bit and I was still smoking grass.
What was your first drink?
Old English, baby.
Ew!
Old English.
What was yours?
Okay, right. So it was probably like 15-year-old, like open 15 years ago, triple sec.
Ooh.
Right? Because I like went in the liquor cabinet in my like, right in my parents' house where it was like, it's the stuff they kept below for parties. And I feel bad for their guests, right?
You
like,
dusted off the bottle.
Oh, I mean, it was fucking disgusting, right?
Your first drink was a 40. That's great.
The old English. That's because I saw everybody else doing it. You know, my brother was older, so I saw him and his friends drinking it. So I was like, I'm going to drink old English. I'm cool like my brother.
There's nothing cool about old English.
Oh, I got so I got so fucked up, and I had consequences again because I got so effing sick, man. Yeah. I remember, I'm 42 years old, and I was 14 when this happened. I remember like it was fucking yesterday. I was in my girlfriend's house, and I fucking drank an entire 40, and I went to bed because I was toxic.
Yeah, you
got this voice. And I woke up, and I puked all over her bed. I mean, all over her bed in her room. You know what I mean? And again, it didn't matter. I was like, oh, that was great. I'm going to do this again.
Yep.
You know? So throughout my story, there's always consequences to my using. But it never I never cared.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I never cared. It was just part of what it was,
mm-hmm.
you know? So throughout my high school years, you know, it got worse. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing a little bit dabbling in harder drugs. When I was 16, I did for cocaine for the first time. And that was like heaven.
Yeah.
And that was powder cocaine. When I was 18, I tried crack cocaine. And that fucking blew my world apart from about 18 to 22. I raged on crack, a lot of alcohol in those years too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with quote unquote softer drugs, but you know, a little bit of pills, a little bit of, you know, marijuana.
Oh,
you know what I mean? What
I they call it. Referring to crack is like, you know, what a softer
drug. Yeah, you know, crack is a softer drug. No. You know, but no, those added in, of course, you know what I mean? And, you know, I wasn't a daily user at that point. But then I turned 21 and that's when alcohol really became a problem for me. You know, because I was like, fuck, I can go to the bars now. I can go to the liquor store.
Dealers on every corner.
It's cheap.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's cheap
right now. But, you know, so then alcohol really came into it.
I actually just got a sweet bottle of fucking ibuprofen for $2 today.
Well, shit.
100 pills.
Jeez, little things in our lives now.
Did you get it out of someone's trunk?
Yes, it was a trunk or treat.
Okay. Nice. There you go.
I was like, oh, ibuprofen. I need this.
It wasn't somebody in Bill Cosby outfit, though, was it?
I hope so.
So 21... Actually, before that, so I turned 21, but before I turned 21, when I was like 20, I was at a friend's house and we were drinking and I was going home and I had an open fucking container in the car.
Of course.
And I had an 89, this is funny, I had an 89 Cutlass, two door. Piece of shit. It was my first car. You know what I mean? And
funny thing is, that thing was a piece of shit when it was brand new.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. I think the doors weighed more than my car does now. So I'm rolling down the road and I'm at a stoplight and this fucking kid in like a Civic. And you know, this is like 1998. So it's when like the fucking burners were first coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was fucking revving his engine. I thought I was cool. I was half tanked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had an open container in the car. So I speed off on the light. Fucking undercover cop behind me. So I'm 20 years old. I get a fucking open container and I get a DWI.
Mm-hmm.
So I go through the core systems, and that's when I was first introduced into the rooms, into mm-hmm. recovery, because I did what they told me, what my lawyer told me. I spent a shit ton of money on a lawyer because I didn't want it to have consequences, you know, more severe than they were going to be. So my lawyer was like, go to rehab. So I went to the old right turn up on the hill.
Oh wow.
Yeah, way back in the day. And so I was court ordered to do meetings in the other fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went. Yeah, I sat in the back, got my slips on, didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? And I still continued to use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, no consequences didn't matter to me. So 21 to 25, same shit. You know, 25, I got two more DWIs.
Mm-hmm.
My last DWI, I actually was riding home from the city. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I went and spent $20. I got one and one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm coming home into my neighborhood at my buddy's house. And in coming in the neighborhood, I dropped fucking one of them on the floor, man.
Mm-hmm. That's awful.
No, I was so pissed.
My dad.
And the next thing that happens is I hit somebody head on.
Oof.
It was a slow accident, but still nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
But still a head on collision.
Hey, how fast were you going, dude?
Like 15 miles an hour.
Okay. Like, did you drop it like over here?
Yeah, I had my head underneath. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the whole thing. Yeah, my foot was off the accelerator. I was like scrambling. Like, you know what I mean? I could.
Where is it?
Fuck. I was like, fuck. So, you know, the cops are called and I get arrested and it's like my third fucking DWI. So at this point, and I'm fucked up. So now I'm taunting the cops. I'm like, what do you want me to do for my sobriety test?
Yeah.
Because I know I'm fucked. Yeah. I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to jail either way. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll do the breathalyzer at the scene because I know the deal with that and I'll lose my license for 45 days, blah, 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 blah. Because I've been through the system. So again, I go through it. I do what the court says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do what my lawyer says. You know, I go back to fucking probation. I'm back on the slip. I was on the slip for like 3 years.
Yeah.
But my probation officer was super fucking lax. So I went for like 6 months. And then after that, I just never went back.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't care. I was just doing it to not go to jail.
Yep.
You know, and I had a year and a half hanging over my head. I was like, I'm going to do whatever the hell I can not to do a year and a half.
Yep.
So I got off, you know, probation when I was like 28. I was on probation for 5 years straight. And from 28 till, and through that whole time, I was still using.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was getting urinalysis tests. I was doing outpatients, and I would fail all these outpatients. I'd lost my license for 11 years. I didn't drive for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. 11 fucking years I didn't drive. Because I would go through these outpatient programs for 6 months, and then on the last 2 weeks, they would piss test me, and I'd come up empty. Yeah. I mean, I would come up dirty, and they'd be like, oh, you got to do another 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing that. So then I would fail. I did like 12 times.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
What's insanity again, dude?
Exactly. Exactly. And again, you know, consequences, I didn't give a fuck. Just kept doing what I needed to do
mm-hmm.
or wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was like 28, I got my own place. And that's when things really got bad. So I was still doing a lot of crack. I was still drinking a lot. And that's when I got introduced to heroin, powdered heroin,
mm-hmm.
Raw, brown, And that was like, that was, and like the first time I ever smoked crack, it was like the same experience. It was just like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, this is amazing. And I did that and did that and I did that for a couple of years. And then I got locked up again.
That's exactly why I didn't do heroin, because I knew.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
I knew I would like, and, you know, I was like, this is going to kill me.
And every time, like, and all, you know, as we say, all my nevers came true. You know, I'll never do crack. I'll never do heroin. I'll never do this. I'll never do this. I'll never drink and drive again. I'll never, you know, and of course, boom, 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 and all in succession.
How many DUIs did you get?
I got three in 4 years.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not good. The record on here, but that's
I guess. I know people who got like 12.
Yeah,
it's not the record.
Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck do you get 12?
They're in jail. I'm
no, they got it off.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And they have their license.
That's crazy. No. Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
There should be a limit. There should be a limit.
Now the country's cracking down. Now in North Carolina, if you get a third DUI, you're never allowed to have a license ever again.
Yeah.
I think they should also crack down on aggressive driving. I have like a big thing on that. Like,
well, we're dads those now. People. I agree.
No. Before the dad thing, dude, when someone's going like 100 past me on 695 or 495,
that's like, that's still me.
Yeah, 100%. That's still you.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I feel like you have to have bricks tied to your accelerator and your brake.
My boyfriend says I drive like I'm bracing for impact perpetually, just like vibrating with nervous energy because I'm like sitting bolt upright, like terrifying. 2 inches from the steering wheel. Jesus.
Oh God!
Don't do that.
No, that's just my energy. It's fine.
Yeah, but if the airbag deploys, it's gonna be a bad day. You're gonna have a bad time. You're supposed to be 10 inches away.
Am I gonna have a bad time or will I just not know?
You might die. Oh, God. It depends on how close you are and how fast.
Darkness, my old
friend. Okay. Anyway, so where were you?
I have no idea.
You asked him how many DWIs he got. Yeah, he got three in 4 years.
Lots of DWIs. DUIs.
Okay. So, then when I was 28, I tried heroin. Mm-hmm. And it was glorious for me. I mean, as bad as that sounds, but it was. Mm-hmm. And I've rolled, you know, a lot of coke, a lot of heroin. I mean, I was doing anything and everything. And I was living alone at this point, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I wasn't paying shit on bills. You know, I was collecting unemployment at this time, so I was like a hog in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All I did was stay home and get fucked up. I had delivery service, and it was so good. Mm-hmm. But so bad. So bad.
Of course there's delivery heroin.
Well, now there is. I mean, I'm sure that's what
drug dealers
are.
Drug dealers are literally just Uber drugs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not like, you had to kind of go places like before, though. It was like, you had to
don't worry. I was still going.
You know
I was still hitting the streets.
This hole, like,
I was still going downtown.
Yeah, I was still going downtown. Sketchy spots, but you know, you had that one solid connector. It was like, yeah, I'll come through.
Yeah. I was still hitting Edmondson and Poplar.
Oh, good lord.
That was fun.
Yeah.
But so then I got locked up again for a fucking a stupid charge. It was like a bar fight.
What?
Yeah. You got into a bar fight?
Well, that's what they charged me
like
as.
Like an assault or like what is that?
Yeah, they tried. So I got in an altercation. I was fucked up at this bar.
What bar?
Fucking Caton Tavern.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's close by.
Yeah. I was living in LA City at the time, so. We just started having words, and I don't know. I have a very vague memory of it because I was blacked out drunk for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember waking up and the cops standing over me pretty much and fucking hauling me off.
Yeah.
So I did get charged with assault. Later on, I got out of the charges, but I did get locked up. And since my other charges were there and still, you know, I still had a criminal record, they were like, oh, you're not getting out this time, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to fucking end up staying in fucking Jessup for like a fucking week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, Jessup doesn't do shit when you're a heroin addict to help you fucking wean.
Yep.
Other than lay in your fucking cell,
yep.
Shit yourself,
yep.
And cry.
Mm-hmm.
And have your upstairs neighbor tell you that they want to rape you.
Oh,
that was my experience coming off detoxing from heroin.
Oof.
That was fun.
This doesn't sound fun.
It was not fun. But I'll tell you what, I've never done it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have. I didn't do heroin for a long time after that. So I did try after that experience, I did try to get clean.
Mm-hmm.
And my quote unquote clean was I didn't do heroin. I didn't do cocaine, but mm-hmm. I still smoked grass and I still drank a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I was good. I wasn't doing the drugs, you know,
didn't matter. I was still a fucking mess.
Yeah.
I was living back at my parents' house. You know, here I am 30 years old living at my parents' house. And from 30 to 37, I was in and out of my parents' house. I was in and out of relationships and girlfriends' houses. I was in and out of friends' houses. I was couch surfing. Mm-hmm. You know, I never had a steady employment. I never had a place to live. Well, I did have steady employment, but I never had a place to live. And, you know, where I was working from 32, you know, they didn't give a fuck.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
I could do anything. I could do anything. They cared, but they didn't. They turned a blind eye to it.
The line was so far away that in order to attain it, like, you would have to set a fire in the
establishment. Oh, let me tell you. On my last run, it was the only time I've ever been asked to leave work. And I was so fucked up, I couldn't see straight.
Yeah.
And she took me in the walk-in. She was like, you have to go home. And she'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. She was yelling at me.
Yeah.
But I'd been up for like 3.5 days. And then I just did a fucking hit of fentanyl before I came in.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah. A hit, like...
Like a bump. Not a smoke. Yeah, bump. I say hit, but I'm confusing words again. But, so, enough about all that bullshit. You know what I mean? I had a long run. I fucking used from 14 to 37.
Mm-hmm.
38. And... In 2020, February 14th of 2020, I was living back at my parents' house.
Right.
it was great. It was fucking awesome. 38 years old, living on my parents' couch.
Yep.
Fucking fantastic.
Bachelor.
Using their car, because I didn't have a car, because I crashed my car again. And I was a fucking... At this point, I wasn't doing a lot of cocaine. I was doing it sparingly when I could because I was living at my parents' house. I'm not going to smoke crack. I mean, I could smoke crack in my parents' house, but I just tried not to.
It has a bad smell, though.
Like, it is. They kind of, yeah, like the fucking couple times I did, they kind of knew. What, and I was, and I was geeking out, like, too. Metallic? You know, and they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Because they've seen they don't have a Yankee candle for that.
Yeah, right? Crack smell.
You know, it could be very reminiscent for people. And they'd be like, oh, that's nice.
Well, you know.
I bet if you go on Etsy. You can find one.
I bet so.
Crack candles.
A crack scented
candle. I mean, I bet there's burning a market plastic there, you know?
Eric, Google it. All right, keep going.
I don't think there's... I don't even think it's worth...
Actually, yeah, don't do that because you're going to get on some sort of list. Yeah. Like, don't do that.
Crack candles.
Yeah. Crack candles.
That's like an SNL sketch or like a Dave Chappelle sketch.
Yes. That's hilarious.
Yes. So I was really bad at drinking at this point. Like very bad, like to the point like I was drinking a fifth a day.
I'm gonna interject. So
yes,
our owner, the guy, he's gone now.
Yeah, so yeah.
His name was Kevin. Yeah. This is the most outrageous alcohol story I have ever heard in my life.
I think I know which one this is.
Dude, so not only heard, but I witnessed this shit. So this guy, he had throat cancer, so he had a stoma. Really, really bad alcoholic. And so he had a hole in his throat, so he could no longer drink alcohol. And he couldn't eat properly, so he had a feeding tube in his stomach. Oh, what God. He would do...
Did he move it?
No, he would have us like buy him like 240 beers a week.
He'd get like 10, 30 packs.
Yeah, and we'd bring him into his office and he would pour him into like a solo cup or whatever. And he would sit there and stir it with a fork to get all the carbonation out of it. Then he would suck it up with a syringe and inject it straight into his stomach.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah,
that is the most rough.
That, yeah.
Yeah, like, so people were like, alcohol is not a drug. Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, no
dude.
Shit.
That is the most, dude was injecting alcohol straight
into
his stomach.
Yeah,
through his feeding tube. Yep, through his feeding tube, dude.
Yeah, it was intense.
Every day.
Yeah.
Like, that is the wildest alcoholism shit I have ever seen.
Alcohol's
in my
a hell
life.
Of a drug.
It's fucking nasty one.
Yeah. I wish I had been there for when they put the live raccoon in the freezer, but I wasn't.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say the live raccoon in his pork.
What happened to the raccoon, though? Is it?
It was fine. The raccoon lived. It was a prank.
I feel like raccoons should be domesticated, so I'm a fan of raccoons.
Oh, yeah. They have opposable thumbs, dude. They're
exactly.
But, anybody who's thinking, oh, alcohol is not a drug, be like, it can get you there.
Alcohol is a weird drug.
It's a weird drug.
I mean, he was in his 50s. Early, mid-50s, and he looked like he was 70. 90 years old.
Yeah.
Dude, it was bad.
But he also was doing fucking, what, like 30 number 30s a day?
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing... he was doing opiates.
Oh, that. Yeah.
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 He was cancer patient. He had dislocated his hip, yeah. Like, broken his back. He was in bad shape.
He was a Purdue statistic.
Yeah. So that's the establishment we worked at.
Right. Yeah. 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 So everything was condoned, mm-hmm. You know, and just kind of swept under the carpet. And mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, David knows. I mean, he saw me. We worked together for a couple mm-hmm. years. I mean, you know.
And 5 years, dude.
Was it five?
It was 5 years.
Fuck.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of years
2015 to 2020, dude.
Yeah, I lost mm-hmm. a lot of years.
But isn't that, like, part of the restaurant industry, though?
100%. That's
like, oh, yeah.
It's just, like,
oh, it's a huge part. Like, it's huge part.
Like, it'd be kind of weird.
You get shift drinks. Yeah. Like, who are going to pay you alcohol at the end of the night?
Yeah, that's why I don't, now that I'm in recovery, you know, I still work in the restaurant industry, but I don't, I just recently changed professions with a new company. I knew I wasn't going to go any place that served alcohol. You know,
yeah.
Which limited me to things, you know what I mean? But I knew I can't be, you know, I'm not going to fucking serve somebody a fucking margarita and be like, oh.
Yeah.
So back to where I was with 2020, February 14th, I was, you know, I was such a bad alcoholic, and I quote unquote was hiding it from them,
mm-hmm.
which was I would get blacked out drunk by 7 o'clock and pass out.
Ugh.
And, you know, again, you know, they kind of turned a blind eye to it. They, you know, kind of enabled it because, you know, I'm their baby son, and they were, you know, they were kind of to the point of, you know, just let it go.
Yeah.
My brother's also an addict. They went through his shit, too. So you got two addicts together, you know, through mm-hmm. fucking 25 years. You know, eventually they just got tired of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people walk away from it. They just kind of... Like with the job, just kind of turn a blind eye to it. Until a point that I, like, broken a lamp or something. I don't even remember, but I came home. I remember I came home from the work that night.
You broke a lamp?
Yeah, like, it was fucking black.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, fucking in the middle of the night. Anyways, so I come home, and, like, I wouldn't throw my empties out. And I was drinking liquor at this point, too, more than anything.
Yeah.
Fireball.
Yeah.
So cheap. Mm-hmm. So horribly good.
Why wouldn't you throw
that? Was after, like, Fireball did not exist. Like,
oh, no. When Aftershock was. Ago.
Yeah, Aftershock was Aftershock. A thing. And fucking
Goldschlager.
Goldschlager.
Oh, yeah. Rumplemints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were ours.
Oh, Christmas in a shot.
Yeah. Rumplemints. Christmas.
But, so
you seem like a Rumplemints chick.
What? I don't even know what that is.
That's just disgusting.
Wow. You're too high, bro.
Oh, yeah, no. At the end, I was like, I will only drink a $100 bottle, like, PD scotch because, like, I'm not an alcoholic if it's classy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did not have that point.
I love you. I want to be you when I grow up.
Yeah,
that's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. I want to be a short, tiny white woman.
Okay. There you go. Right. You're halfway there. You're already short.
There you go.
And white.
And white.
And white. And white. Yes, forgot. 2 out of 3.
Yeah. You're close.
I just need a vagina. Anyway, keep going.
So, I didn't throw out my empties to answer your question because I didn't want them to see them. So I would stash them.
What?
Yeah, classic alcoholic shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't want them to see them, so I'm going to put them all around the house.
Yes, yes. So and then I was carrying a courier bag at this point, a man purse, because that's why I stashed my alcohol in when I came home with it, so they, again, wouldn't see my alcohol, but mm-hmm. I'm getting blacked out drunk by 7 o'clock. So I come home, and on the kitchen table are all my fucking empties.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fucking... nightmare. I mean, it is a sea of empties, minis, fifths, pints. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, which is not a good attitude to have. You know, it should be like, oh, fuck, I got a real big problem. No, yeah. It's, oh, fuck, now what I got to answer. I don't want to do this. You know, mm-hmm. they're going to fucking question me. I just want to get home and drink. So they were like, you got a real big problem. It's like, yeah, I guess so. They're like, well, you got one of two choices. You can fucking go back and try to get help, or you can leave the fucking house. You know, you weigh those options. I'm gonna fucking do what they want.
Yeah.
You know. So I go in, and I did a 28 day program, and let me tell you, you know, I did my stint and got off the fucking heroin. You know, cold turkey. I went in to my 28. I detoxed from alcohol, on medication, nurses' orders. The alcohol withdrawal was 3,000 times worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I mean, it was... I seized. I had a seizure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did your legs get all swollen and crazy?
So my legs didn't swell up, thank gosh, because I was on medications for it.
You've seen it though, right?
I have seen it.
It's fucking wild. I have seen
it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, if I had continued to drink the way that I was drinking probably for another 6 months, that would have happened.
Fuck.
And now when I the first day I went in, you know, I had my, you know, my consultation and stuff and went and saw the nurse. And I told her everything that I do and how much I do. And I had stopped drinking the day before. And, like, I had to drink, like, every 6 to 8 hours where I would start going into DTs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, literally, like, bad DTs.
You remember my hands.
You remember my hands.
Dude, yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. I couldn't even drink a cup of coffee at the end unless I had a shot in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's never good.
So, you know, the nurse was like, you know, when was the last time you had a drink? I was like, it's been over 24 hours. She was like, you are going to get on medication right now. She was like, because you could die. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She was like, if you don't have alcohol in your system, you know, I was like, oh, fuck. You know, now I'm scared.
Yeah.
No, they gave me like fucking Klonopin and, you know, Valium and shit. I was like, this is wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for this. You know, that was the first day. And then the next day they
getting a 5-star review.
Right. Yeah. Then they, you know, brought me back. And that's when I really started detoxing hard. And that's when, like, you know, and throughout all this time that I had used and I had known I was an addict. I had been introduced into the rooms. My brother was an addict. You know, we went through counseling. We went through fucking Al-Anon. And so I knew full-heartedly. I was like, I'm an addict. I'm a drunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to call me, whatever you want to classify me as, it doesn't matter. I'm a fucking garbage head. That's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was okay with it. I was proud of it a lot. Yeah. I was like, you know, that's my style. That's my lifestyle. That's who I am. That's what I'm going to embrace as. And I was okay with it for that fucking long. And then when I got in there, you know, I went through my shit. And, you know, once the fucking brain fog came out, which took like a week and a half, where I fucking finally just started feeling a little bit normal, like could actually eat and like could like keep my eyes open and not like want to die. I was like, you know, I'm 38 years old, about to be 39. No, I just turned 39, actually. And I was like, something's got to change here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't to the point of like being totally abstinent from everything. You know, I was like, well, you know, well, maybe I'll just start drinking on the weekends, or I'll just have a few. I won't drink liquor. You know, what we always come up with. Or I'll just, you know, when I get out, I'll just smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know, blah, 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 blah. So I was at that mind point for a couple of days. And then, you know, I started really listening and I started doing some homework and I started doing, you know, some real self-reflection on myself. And, I was like, you know what, let me try to start taking this a little bit seriously, you know. And I had a lot of support in there. I made some friends in there, some real strong ties, and I met a woman.
Yeah, of course.
Rehab romance, baby. Ooh, so good. So I got out to continue this relationship and, you know, moved too fast.
Yep.
And moved in together.
We should buy a boat.
We should buy a boat.
Whoa. You know. I thought we were on ABC. Bitch, you're at Q.
You're
on a completely different wavelength.
Yeah, fucking craziness. So we lasted, I mean, we were together for a couple of years. But so I had 9 months and I was like, I'm good. You know, I was hitting meetings. I had a home group. I had a sponsor. I was starting to work steps, but again, I wasn't in it to win it by any means. I was more coddling to everybody else. And finally, about 9 months, I was like, you know what? You know, the dispensaries were just opening up because medical was coming out, and everybody at fucking work was like, "Oh,
everywhere smells amazing."
Yeah, now. And then you know, this guy was making homemade edibles, and people were eating them at work, and I was like, "Oh god, that looks so good." So especially one day, I was just like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna start fucking eating edibles."
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, as we say, once too many, a thousand's never enough. That's fucking exactly what happened, man. I fucking did one edible, then four edibles, then five edibles, then nine edibles.
Good Lord,
Jesus
dude.
Christ.
Yeah. And that was within like a week. Like I was like one, and then I was like, oh, let me do two at work and I'll do one at home. And then I was like, oh, I'll do three at work and I'll do five at home. And then, you know, a week and a half later, I was like, well, that's not enough. So
I was never an edible guy.
Oh my God.
It was such a weird high.
It's, you know.
It's not that type of, like, it's not meant to get you high like that, dude.
No, I know. And that's what I didn't like. I was like,
comatose, dude. Yeah. I was sitting on the meat slicer, like,
do you remember the old school, like, vaporizers?
I had one.
I hated that fucking high. That high sucked so bad. Oh my God. It was, I don't know. It was loopy, weird. Yeah. Like,
oh, I feel kind of spacey. I'm classy high.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a high class high.
Give me a full on David, I'm a piece
that's
of
your
shit.
That's your resentment, though, really, right?
No, that's just me Isn't being it? A total crumble.
Can we be honest? Well, see, like your resentment towards higher class. Right.
Oh, that's why you hate me.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You literally are everything I'm not. And I'm just like, I hate this bitch.
And the truth comes out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But see, I can recognize it, so I can hold on to my defense.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yes. Justify. Yeah,
absolutely.
Justify.
Totally.
So edibles just weren't enough. And then one day I was at work. And there's a liquor store right next door. And I was like, fuck it, I'm getting a bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, I got in an argument with my girl. And she had caught fucking me with fucking weed in my car or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like accusatory. And of course I was fucking lying my ass. Oh, it's old. It's been in there, blah, blah, blah. And it was fresh as shit. I mean, it still smelled like a skunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was still wet.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, it's old. She was like, bullshit. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go get a drink. Well, that drink turned into 2 drinks. That drink turned into 4 drinks. And that drink turned into crack. Mm-hmm. And crack turned into fentanyl. Mm. And I went on a short run for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Went back, did another 28 days. That cycle occurred like 3 more times in a year.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And then in late April of 2021, we had a really big blowout. And she told me to leave. And we were both using at this point together.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, so you add rehab romance, toxic relationship, codependency,
mm-hmm.
hatred.
Yeah.
For no reason. Because we're both just fucking miserable because we're both using. Mentally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, you add those all together.
Are
you
telling Miranda's story right now?
Yeah, that's right. I have never been to rehab.
Really?
I'm wildly mentally unstable. Yes. That's accurate.
Well, that's good. That's
yeah.
Good. So,
I don't think I ever... No, I went to psych wards quite a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Never rehab.
Not
yeah.
the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not no, the same. Not the same.
Yeah, I went to the psych ward to sleep because I didn't have anywhere else to go.
I fucking loved the psych ward.
Yeah, I did that psych a couple times. I didn't have anywhere else to go, so I was like, fuck it, I'll go fucking do a fucking 72 fucking evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
It's insurance covered like spa week.
Yeah. Yes.
For some God. I always went to the fucking
where,
county.
Where are you yeah. going, Ryan?
That's where yeah, I was
one north. Like,
yeah, I mean, one north, baby. One north. That was not... Yeah. So then, you know, after that point, after she told me to leave, I was off, man. I was off to the fucking races. I didn't have anywhere to go, but I had money in my pocket. So I went down mm-hmm. to fucking Ramada on Catonsville.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yes.
Ooh, good job.
Yes.
Well, hey. It's not the Browns Motel, so at least you're...
Hey, that was my next step.
That was the Browns Motel, like... What
dude,
a
world little... don't tell me you have been in the
rooms
Browns
of the world.
I've been in a room there.
Yeah, yeah. I have too. Yeah. I've been many times.
Oh,
I grew up in the area.
Don't act like you're better than me, Eric, ever again.
Why?
I drew my line at the Browns Motel.
I thought you were a Schitt's Creek fan. You don't appreciate the Browns Motel?
This was before Schitt's Creek, and I don't like skating.
What about the Tip Top in Elkridge?
No.
I've been there, too.
Is that the place that charges by the hour?
Yeah, charges. Yeah, you can get the bungalow, or you can get the room with the heart-shaped jacuzzi. With a mirror on the ceiling.
The vibrating bed.
Uh-huh, mirror on the ceiling. It's good.
Ooh, vibrating bed.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's fucking fantastic. So... I was staying there, and I was on the verances, man. I fucking just never stopped. And it was the hardest I think I've ever gone in like a 3-week process. And that's when I was told to leave work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I had nowhere to go. And then after like 2.5 weeks, I was running out of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was running out of everything. And, you know, I had been in the rooms for like a year and a half at that point, or a year at that point. So I had made some real friendships and real relationships. People actually fucking cared about me,
mm-hmm.
you know, outside of being, you know, my using friends who don't, you know,
yeah,
it's such an oxy fucking moron to me.
Yeah.
Now, in hindsight, you know, so all these people were reaching out. My sponsor was reaching out. My grand sponsor, who's now my grand sponsor, was reaching out. Like, you know, my family's reaching out. And of course, I was telling her, oh, I'm almost done. I had no intention of fucking stopping mm-hmm. at all. You know, and at this point, fucking opiates have been introduced back into my life, and I was mm-hmm. doing fentanyl. So one morning, I wake up, and I'm on the fucking floor. I have no idea how long I had been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I, first time in my entire fucking using career, I threw drugs away without having the cops on me. I actually threw drugs in the trash or in the toilet and flushed them down. I have no idea.
I've done that before. I never did that.
Never without the fucking cops fucking being after me.
Your prayer. It's like that kind of like, no, you know what? Tomorrow, like, I'm going to throw these away, and then you're like, ah!
Yeah, that was my attitude about it later on. Good Lord.
Hey, I mean, that was how I felt.
I did smash all my bongs when I got out of jail, but that's different.
That is a little different.
You didn't sell them or give them to needy people?
No.
I donated, like, all of my, like, glassware or whatever.
Yeah, thank you.
Which means at the end, I tried to smoke weed out of a banana one time.
Oh, shit.
It doesn't work.
It's not an apple.
No. It's not an apple.
Like, what did the banana do? Like,
what did it do?
Turned black.
Failed to be an apple.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So I remember this again like yesterday. I mean, because 2.5 years is a good amount of time for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still so vivid in my brain. And I want it to be that way for as long as I can stay in recovery, because I never know what tomorrow is going to hold for me. I can't guarantee that I won't use tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for this moment right now, I don't have the desire to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it never comes back. But I remember I was sitting there and I just did the last of my crack and I was out of booze and, you know, I was dirty, I was tired, and I was out of a job. They were like, you can't come back. So I thought I was totally fucked. And I'm in this Fleabag shit hotel, you know, and I just looked at myself, and this is the first time I probably looked at myself in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked in the mirror. I didn't even look at myself. I looked kind of through myself. I saw my exterior is what I really saw. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy fuck. So this guy, Dave, who's my grand sponsor now, he's one of the people who kept reaching out. Mm-hmm. reaching out. He's actually going to have 30 fucking years this December.
Yep.
And he reached out that day or a few days before that. And he was like, look, man, I know what you're doing. I know where the fuck you're at. I care about you. When you're ready, get your shit, pack it up, come to my fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
You can stay on my couch and we'll get your fucking shit back together. We'll get a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, this couple of days, I was like, oh, I'm almost done. But that morning I did. I was like, fuck it. I packed all my shit up and I fucking was like, I'm done. I fucking surrender. I'm sick. I'm tired. I can't do it. I mean, I'm getting choked up thinking about it now. And I went to his house, and it was May 24th in 2021. And I slept on that couch for 3 fucking days and sweated it out. Because at that point, I was back to being almost, you know, fully fucking addicted to alcohol again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's how quick it happens for me. So I sweated it out for 3 days, and I ended up living there for 18 months.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's the best decision I've ever fucking made. And, you know, in that 18 months, I really delved into the rooms and mm-hmm. into recovery. And I used him. I mean, he's still a mentor to me.
Oh, yeah.
And always will be. I mean, he's, you know, yep. he's a hilarious guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's about as Jewish can be.
Yes.
And he's got this real gruffy voice. And he's just very entertaining. And he's very giving. He's just such a giving guy. I mean, he has bad rap because he's outspoken, but he's such a giving guy.
Only to dicks. Anybody who really knows him.
And he's such a warm, welcoming guy, especially to newcomers. He mm-hmm. loves fucking...
Who's that? Hey, you there?
It's our vet. Sorry about
he
that.
He loves newcomers, and he works in the profession. He works, you know, in a facility a couple times a week. And, you know, I've seen him throughout, the 3.5 years that I've known him, and the 2.5 years that we've really gotten a lot closer. You know, I've seen him do so many good things for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to reflect that myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to give it back to keep it. So, you know, I really delved into it. I got in with my sponsor. I didn't have just a sponsor by name. I actually worked, you know, steps. I was hitting meetings, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. I mean, a day.
You can,
you know,
it's possible.
Yeah,
I've done it
in Baltimore.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, my home group's Little Italy, and it's been since the beginning. And you know, I've had a service position since I started there. I'm actually secretary at the current moment. you know, my media intentions slacked off a little bit, and I have all excuses in the book, but there is no excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on four, but I haven't even picked it up because I'm terrified, and everybody's like, just fucking do it. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. It's scary.
Four's
not a big deal. It's fine, yeah,
man. But, you know, I was done. I fucking absolutely surrendered to it. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to work every single day. There's not a day that has gone by in the past 2.5 years that I've not put some effort into my recovery. Mm-hmm. Whether it's speaking to somebody in recovery, whether it's reading something on recovery, you know, the daily meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I surround myself in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have anybody in my life except for one person that's, you know, outside of my family that's not in recovery.
Yep.
You know, I had to back away from everybody. And, you know, it's been fucking a godsend, you know. And, you know, they talk about the pink cloud for the first year. Well, I'm still riding that pink cloud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not as grandiose, but it's still fucking there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, there still are times, even after 2.5 years, where I'm like, fuck, I could use.
Yeah.
You know, it's still in my head. And my grand sponsor, he's like, even after fucking 29 years, he's like, I'll go down to Florida and I'll be walking on the boardwalk and I'll walk by a bar and be like, that chick's pretty. I could buy her 15 drinks and get her. And I could have 20.
Jeez.
Well, it's Dave.
That yeah.
But you know, so
ethical.
You know, so it's, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's
well, I could get her in a blackout real quick.
Then I'll take her home. And,
but yeah. You know, but it's, you know, it shows
just
that.
Just call me Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
It shows that this, you know, you'll never defeat addiction. You just mm-hmm. never will. You know, you can subside it. You can take it on, but you know, it's always there. Mm-hmm. And as long as I, you know, put it in the work, you know, I'll reap the rewards. And over the past 2.5 years, let me tell you, man, the shit that has come my way, you know, through my higher power and through the hard work I put in has been amazing. And I would never change my life for anything. I wouldn't even change my using experiences because it's really made me grown as who I am.
Yeah.
You know, is it sad? Of course. I think any addict has some sort of a sad story. That's what we used.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never change anything that I went through and what I've gone through to be where I am today.
Nice.
In the 2.5 years, you know, I've grown so much. I've matured. It's weird because I'm 42, but I feel like fucking a man finally. You know, I have money in my pocket. I have money in my bank account. I have my own fucking apartment. I'm paying my bills. I have savings. And, you know, it's not about money, poverty, and prestige, but it is nice to know that you have those things and you can hold on to those things.
It's about, stability. You know?
I'm in a relationship now that's not codependent.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthy. You know, we don't yell at each other. We're not malicious and vicious with each other. You know, we talk, we communicate, which is fucking amazing. And we do things, you know what I mean? And like, I went to Sedona, fucking Arizona for a week. Like, who the fuck, when in my life would I ever think I would go to fucking Grand Canyon and take a helicopter fucking ride?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, never in my radar would that have happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was taking helicopter rides
Five years ago, you're vibrating out of the helicopter.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, you know, it's just, it's amazing what recovery can absolutely give you. Mm-hmm. But you gotta do the work. Mm-hmm. It's not just showing up in the rooms. You know, you can, you know, meeting makers make it. But, yeah, but you can't just sit in the back, you know. Yeah. My grand sponsor, he's got 43 years. You know, has this analogy, you know, that, you know, that you got to stay in the middle of the herd.
Mm-hmm.
That the elderly, older, you know, people, animals that just don't care, or the youngins that just are ignorant, mm-hmm. you know, are on the outside of the herd.
They get picked off.
And they get picked off. Yeah. So if you stay in the middle with the winners, you're going to stay in the middle with the winners.
The
you
know what I mean?
Which really, when you think about it, it's totally like, I'm just going to be like, you guys are all screwed out there. I'm fine.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm in the middle.
Like, right. Can we take turns in the middle? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Go fuck off. You've been there for like 30 years.
Yeah. Go break a leg, turd.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, you know, I surround myself, you know, I do have newcomers in my life, but I also have a lot of old timers in my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes old timers can be gruff and bullheaded, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Especially with the newer generations, even me, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, ah, you piece of shit, you don't know what my recovery's about.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fuck you. You don't know what my recovery's about.
Yeah.
You know, you were doing Quaaludes.
Yeah.
But,
they don't even exist.
Yeah, just in South Africa. Oh, they do in South Africa.
In South Africa. Yeah. You saw that episode too, isn't it fucking wild?
So it, crazy. Do you think there's anything about Quaaludes I don't know?
What it feels like to take them?
Ah.
You can go to Johannesburg and find out.
Yeah. But so, you know, again, I just every day I do something, mm-hmm. you know. And I talk to my sponsor as much as I can. And, you know, home group is very important to me. You know, I never miss it. That's the one meeting I absolutely make every week. Mm-hmm. I don't even let work interject because I've, you know, even with getting in my new job, I was like, look, I'm going to be open and honest with you. Fucking Wednesday nights are a no-go.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, why is that? I'm like, because I was a fucking drug addict.
Because mind your business. That's
yeah,
why.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. But then, you know, it was what it was. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm happy. And I haven't been happy in 38 years, you know, so being 42 and being happy and healthy. And that's the other thing. Like, I go to the fucking doctor.
Like, I don't even do that.
I went to the dentist.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
25 years I didn't go to the dentist.
Yeah.
What? Let me tell you. Yeah, 25 years I never went to the dentist. Let me tell you. That was an experience.
Yeah.
How many teeth did you have?
So I've lost one and I have 9 cavities.
That's not bad.
I know. I was stoked.
That's not bad.
I was stoked.
For that long?
And the best thing is, my girlfriend's uncle is the dentist, so I get a family discount.
You fucker.
But again, a blessing the fucking recovery. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you do, and for the newcomers out there, it's scary as shit. You know, it really is. You don't know where you're going to go, how it's going to go, why it's going to go, where it's going to go. But that's the beauty of it, though,
mm-hmm.
is the unknowing of where you're going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've hit that bottom or you've hit those trap doors like I did, because every time I hit a bottom, I was like, oh, I'm done. And then that trap door would open. Oh, a new fucking bottom. You know, once you finally hit your trap door bottom, you know, and you just surrender to it, man. You're just like, I got to fucking change. I got to do it.
I think that's the title, Eric, the trapdoor bottom, because I've never heard that before.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah, it's fucking nasty shit. I've never heard that.
Sounds
yeah.
like a BDSM club. But
it does. See, right?
I think I could be a really good trapdoor bottom.
Yes, you could. Yeah.
Yes, you generate could. A lot of power from the bottom. I'm just going to say that. All right. We definitely have some questions for you.
All right.
Ladies first. Would you like to go first, Miranda?
Oh, my God. Absolutely not. Please go first.
Okay. Eric, you got anything?
I do have one thing. Go. Trapdoor bottom. That should be a song, too.
Yeah, by our punk band, Five Car Pile Up.
Jesus.
Yeah, I bet it's a five. Yeah. Okay.
I love that band name. If
Five Car Pile Up. It's really good.
It's a great band name.
You know that, yeah.
It doesn't exist. Well, it's still out there.
Not yet.
I've been holding on to it.
I don't know.
If any of you fuckers out there listening, still Five Car Pile Up.
You gotta copyright that shit.
I will find you.
It's like I'm waiting. I'm fucking waiting.
I have a particular set of skills, okay?
Yeah.
Are you a wolf? Like, what are you? Like,
that was Liam Neeson. It was okay. Taken, dude.
I didn't see God. Taken. That was just like,
neither did I.
That
but come on,
movie?
Get with
like,
the fucking zeitgeist, you idiot. Mm. What's your question?
Okay. First off, fuck off, dude. And then secondly,
that's a good one.
I guess, okay, you mentioned early in your story the sibling rivalry, right?
Oh, yeah,
brother.
I didn't go into that part.
And you said he's 18 months older or 21 months? Or
18.
Okay, so my sister is 21 months younger than me. Mm-hmm. And, like, dude, yeah, we fucking hate each other, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, tomorrow I am going to hang out with her. Like, we're getting both our daughters together to, like, you know, go pet animals.
No shit.
And kind of, like, just hang out without our parents mm-hmm. and that influence of, like, you know, their horse shit. So... I guess, how are you doing with your brother? And then, is there a road to kind of...
reconciliation?
Maybe. Maybe not even that, but, like, just being okay with each other.
So... oof. That's a yeah. toughie.
There. Reconciliation, like, I'm almost at reconciliation. I can't believe I'm there.
So that's amazing, and I commend you for that. I really do. As far as reconciliation, I haven't had a physical word, or maybe not even physical word. I haven't spoken to my brother in over 10 years.
Ooh, that's a, yeah.
And that's not just on my side. It's on dual sides. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, he's in recovery now in a different way. Huh. He has almost coming up on 5 years. He went down the religious route, which is fine. I don't give a fuck what keeps you clean or how you get clean. Do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Celebrate's great.
You know, exactly. But as far as, you know, our relationship is concerned, he has a lot of mental issues that mm-hmm. he doesn't take care of. Mm-hmm. He has communication with my parents. He has communication with my sister. But as far as our communication, it's just, I'm not at the point where I yeah. can. And I think, you know, once I really, and this is what I talk to.
Do you see it potentially being an eighth and ninth step thing?
I think it's going to be a 4, 8, and 9.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But like, but
that's yeah. a big part of 4 and 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. You know, down the road, maybe handwritten note. As far as verbal communication goes,
is there a crack in the doorway?
Wow, 10 years in today is a long time. In today's world, no.
Okay,
that's no. amazing.
Cool. There's 10 just years not
is like commitment.
On oh no, yeah. dude, my one yeah. sister. Yeah. That's that. I mean, fucking you know, door is do, slammed, do, bolted. Do fucking, I? There are you booby know, traps I, behind do, it. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, sister out there,
fuck you. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, there's
I'm
just,
sorry, I got 11 years clean, but she's a piece of shit here.
Yeah, that's,
being,
yeah.
Nope.
I just, you know.
Eric will co-sign me on that. He's heard that bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has their own intentions yeah. behind
it. I mean, and again, I mean, I commend to anybody that can mend those relationships mm-hmm. and can build on those relationships. And I, you know, as far as strong as I am, I think that would be, could possibly be one thing that could be a trigger to take me out.
Hey, dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
And that scares the shit out of me.
It took me a long time to get to the point, and like, it came out of fucking nowhere where I was just like, you know, I should probably mend this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just have to, one of us has to be the bigger person.
Yeah.
But do you, like, I don't think you have to mend all relationships. Like, I haven't spoken to my dad in 15 years.
If I want
and in my recovery
daughter to have like a close relationship yes, with her cousin, yes. I yeah. do need to do it.
Yes,
right.
But yeah, sometimes I think, I don't know, relationships get to an irreparable state. Mm-hmm. And I have two of those in my mm-hmm. family. And yeah, is it going to be worth ultimately potentially triggering myself emotionally and psychologically to get some sort of uh-huh. whatever fantasy relationship I
yeah.
wanted?
Yeah, I mean, we're never, yeah, we're not, old. Yeah, I don't think oh, we're ever going to go back. I mean, he lives in Florida now, you know what I mean? Not that you know, geographical difference doesn't really matter because we can always communicate through mm. 1,000 different ways. But, you know, I mean, I do get, you know, he gets the information about me and I get the information about him through my family. And for today, for the past 10 years, that's just how it is. And I think, you know, for now, until who knows, mm-hmm, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, like again, like I said, with newcomers and when I first got clean, I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. Tomorrow might feel differently. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and be like, man, I really do miss my brother.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't feel that way today.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. You know, it's hard for me even to say that I really have love for him, mm-hmm. and that's fucking tough.
I get that
too. You know, and that hurts that even to this day, after mm-hmm. everything we've been through, I still have trouble saying that, you know, but it is maybe the I'm truth.
You know what? You don't have to love everyone. You don't have to.
I'm yeah. right with you.
You yeah. know what? Some like, people fuck you. Off, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to love you if yeah. you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I love you as long as you're over there.
yeah.
Stay
the fuck away from me.
All right, what you got, Miranda?
Mine is a little bit more of a surface question, and I'm just being real dumb. What the fuck is a one-in-one? I do not know what that means.
So a one-in-one is a packet of heroin and a packet of coke.
A little bit boy and girl, you know, pulling together. It's a okay. one ball.
Right. Yeah. I never heard the boy and girl thing until... So I didn't start working in Baltimore until I got clean, and I, like, heard that, right? Well, like, fucking yeah. walking through Lexington Market.
Oh, yeah, Lexington.
Yes, I am. You're like, yes. Oh, one-in-one, one-in-one, one-in-one.
Got one-in-one for you, yeah.
The 101.
Yeah, 101, 15, 101.
You can do a follow up question if you have a different question.
Oh, no, I don't have a follow up question to that. That was a pretty straightforward answer, and it makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. No, man, I don't. I will, but like right now I have test anxiety.
That's fine.
I'm sure Dave has got a bunch to say.
I do.
Jesus. I see a list over there.
Yeah, it's a few. all right, so, you know, like Eric and I have talked about this numerous times, there's kind of two separate surrenders. Obviously, there's surrender once you get into recovery, but like really the initial surrender, which you talked about, was surrendering to your addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And like, so how like crucial was that when you just sort of accepted that that mindset of, you know, like, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a junkie, I'm whatever. And how did that really just escalate and worsen the whole problem for years?
So, you know, having the realization and the comfortness for me of being a fucking junkie and quote unquote alcoholic. I mean, we're all addicts. So, you know, it's hard for me to define myself as an alcoholic or an addict.
Yeah,
people say in the rooms, you know, don't say alcoholic when you're in this room.
Alcoholics
don't say,
are a little weird, though.
You know, look, I'm a fucking addict. I don't care what you describe me as. You know, I drank, I used, you know, whatever the fuck you want to say. But for so many years, I was okay with it, so I accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I boast about it. That became my personality. That became my persona. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, there's Matt. He's a fucking drug addict. Hey, Matt, there's Matt. He's drunk again. Hey, there's Matt. He's fucked up again. You know? And I got into the counterculture lifestyle, too, with, you know, the hippie lifestyle when I was in...
You are wearing a Pink Floyd t-shirt, so yes.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Animals.
Oh,
yes. So, it. And I geared towards that and tried to hype myself up as this, you know...
Yeah.
We all put this chameleon on, and, you know, deep down, I didn't like being that way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be a fucking addict.
Nobody wants to be a hippie.
You know... No. Fuck you, I did. All right? And I still am a fucking hippie.
Whatever, patchouli.
Yeah.
How's the granola treating those cavities, you fuck?
Pretty good, actually. That's why I lost them one tooth. Crunchy granola, bitch. So, you know, for that longest time, you know, I accepted it and I embraced it. And like I said, that was my persona. It was who I was or who I thought I was. It was who I thought I wanted to be, you know, because that's where I was accepted.
Yeah.
You know, and I could be a total fuck up.
Yeah.
And a total ass.
Yeah.
You know, I could fucking be in somebody's closet naked taking a piss and we'd laugh about it the next day.
Yep.
Did you clean it up? Did you at least clean up?
Like... Fuck no.
No, fuck
I just did it the next night.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. It's yours now.
Right.
That corner is yours.
It's mine. Yeah, it's mine. I marked it. Cool.
Yeah.
Marked it.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Now flipping the script in recovery, like, when did you come to that realization that like, oh, I'm not that person and I don't have to be?
Gradually.
I think it's still a daily thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, because I'm still growing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, initially it was that first day that when I fucking looked at myself and threw myself in the mirror, when I accepted my surrender, when I knew I was done, I was like, you know, you are not who you fucking pretend to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're so fucking unhappy. You're so fucking depressed. You know, and the other thing is, when I had first gotten back, you know, into the rooms in 2020, you know, people, and this still gets me to today, even with 2.5 years almost, is people see shit in me that I still don't fucking see in myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see the growth, they see the potential, they see the love, they see this, that, and other. And I'm like, you guys are fucking full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still take people at what I think is face value, but when they're being honest with, I don't like when people are honest with me, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but especially when it's a good thing, because I think they're trying to play me. Or, you know, I'm so self-degrading on myself. You know, for the longest time,
absolutely.
I was, you know, and I still am. I'm like,
you can't hurt me if I'm still hurting.
Right, exactly. Right. I'm not worthy of it. I'm stupid. I'm
self-deprecation.
Fucking, you know,
it's
so bad.
It's so great.
It's so bad.
And it's just helpful.
It is.
And it's been so continuous.
I've survived.
Negative affirmations. Right. I love them.
So.
Negative affirmations. Oh yeah.
But so I mean, yeah, like you said, it's on a daily basis, but. Yeah. You know, every day I do feel like I get stronger. And I have bad days.
Yeah.
I do. I fucking have bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I have days where I don't want to do shit, but I still get up and do shit. And that's another thing that I do is like, you know, if I do see myself starting to isolate or feel myself starting to isolate, man, I get the fuck out.
Eric does the exact opposite. Yeah. He's like, I really like this place. I burrow in.
Oh, I love isolation, but I know that's going to be fucking a matter of fucking moments.
This is a lovely
Eric's been hibernating for at least 4 years. It is looking great.
All right.
So next.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go. I do have one. Right. So I did the same thing. You said you were like sitting on four a little bit because you were scared. I don't know if I was scared. I was just like, this seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, that too.
Right. I think the like worst part about it in like retrospect was probably like writer's cramp. Mm-hmm. What is there anything specific to that fear or is it just like a generalized?
It's bringing up all that shit that I don't want to think about. You know, all the shit that I've tried to hide with fucking using. Mm. You know what I mean? It's bringing up all those memories, especially with the family stuff. And
it's going, going to the dentist of your soul.
Yeah, exactly. And it's you know, like David was just saying, it's going to delve into the shit that I did that of who I'm not. It's going to bring out all the bad shit that I did. And this is what I internalize it as, you know. But at the same point, I look at it, and when I write it down, it emphasizes that I'm not that fucking person, mm-hmm. and that I did this shit. Not that it's excusable, but I, you know, had reasons because I was fucked up. You know, not that it makes it better by any means. It's not a fucking excuse, or you know, makes it right. But you know, but it is a lot of hesitation because of that. Yeah. You know, it's. Do I want to bring shit up? Like we were talking about with my brother.
Yeah.
You know, those triggers, those memories, those thoughts, those fucking feelings. I'm still scared of feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still scared of feelings. So, you know, more than anything, I think I'm just hesitant because
that's where the growth is.
But I know.
That's the name of the podcast.
I'm growth enough.
What?
No.
Still afraid of feelings.
Oh. So, but yeah, I think
I like
that's
trapdoor
a
good, bottom.
I like trapdoor bottom.
I just feel like I need to open up like kind of like a club in Mount Vernon.
We could do like B-52s like, covers and call ourselves trapdoor bottom.
Yeah, and some beaches, right. Like beaches on the weekend.
Miranda, can you play the triangle?
No, that's a no.
No, yeah. That's a hard
one. Yeah. Let me just stare into space silently.
What's wrong with her?
Fucking mescaline. She'll be fine. let her ride it out.
She's getting in the
smooth
action.
Zone right now.
Okay, well.
Good to do. All right. what do I got? All right. So we worked together. So when I...
5 years. Geez.
When I came into your life.
It's the worst day of my life ever.
Yeah. Terrible. So I had about 2 years clean. And you were bad, dude. Like there were bad days. You were very shaky at all times, like physically. Like your hands would shake. Like how you were wielding a kitchen knife. why anybody let that happen was reckless. And like you were always really supportive of my recovery and everything. And like we talked about it a lot. And like. We talked a lot about acid trips and shit.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
What is that like? I don't know. What's that feel like? And like, were there any thoughts of like, you know, seeing somebody in recovery doing well, and you knew it was available for you, and still not doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw.
Because I think you came out to a couple meetings a couple times.
I did.
Yeah, couple of my anniversaries.
I did. Yeah. You know, I knew the gift was out there, and I saw the gift in you. Yeah. And you were, you know, I did struggle, and you know, you were.
I never always, browbeat you.
No, you didn't. You were one of those people that, you know, it's promotion, not attraction. Mm. You know, but it was attractive to me. But. I didn't want to fucking put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to fucking be clean.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I was happy being miserable, as fucked up as that sounds. It's oxymoron, but...
Yeah.
You know, but I did see how great your life was and how much, even with 2 years, you know, because you have a lot more now, obviously, but... you know, I saw a healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a happy person. I saw a person who was arrested.
Yeah.
And somebody that had potential, you know. So it was nice to see that because there was nobody else in my life at that point that had anything going for themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The pill problem at work.
Right? Oh, that was rampant as fuck.
It was bad.
It was so, and then I got wrapped up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So to see and to know somebody that had recovery, you know, did plant a seed back in my head. You know what I mean? But it just was in the very back of my head.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of fucking unfertilized soil.
Yeah.
But it was there. And it had been there, you know, even, you know, and I had reached out to you a couple times. You reached out to me throughout the years, you know, since you left the work. You know, before I had gotten really steady in recovery, you know, when I first got in recovery, you know, in 2020, I reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And even before you had left, you know, there were little tidbits, you know, that I was interested in getting in with, and you had tried to steer me in the right direction. And I remember we had a conversation. We were in the fucking walk, and you were like, look, I can give you ideas. I can give you places to go, but I ain't going to be your fucking sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt me. Yep. You're going, Dave doesn't love me. You're cool, man. You know, but again, that's just myself. Doubt, and you know what I mean, and you know, looking back at it now, you know what I mean, with a clearer thought process and clearer eyes, I was like, what a fucking great thing for him to say to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, you know, it was something that stuck with me.
Yeah.
By
the way, anybody out there, if you've never like cried or screamed or like done anything in a walk-in freezer in a restaurant.
You've never worked in a restaurant.
Yeah, you've never worked in a restaurant. You're missing out on it's a great place in life. The therapy inside of a walk-in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's the confession booth on Real World.
It really is. Yes. It's amazing.
Yes. I've also made other people cry in the walk-in.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was sexually, and it was completely...
Well, that's... Yeah,
it was consensual, but, you know, it was disappointing for me.
That's where the trapdoor bottom.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's how you learned you were a trapdoor bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's...
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Anybody else?
Oh, well, Dave, I feel like you, like, that's... Oh, man. That's so hard to do.
What?
Kind of, you know, he's asking for help. You know, like, and like, it's...
Well, nah, I wouldn't...
What's
your standpoint on this? Because...
I get why it happened.
It was foggy.
So hard to do, right?
God, it was years ago. No, because Chris had asked me the same thing.
That's right.
And I was like,
Yeah.
Because I had talked to my sponsor about it.
Things either.
Exactly. Yeah. And like the biggest thing I'd come up with, like,
yeah, there was a lot.
We work together 5-6 days a week, and I was like, dude, awesome, if we're working together, sponsoring this guy, I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and will he?
It just wasn't.
It wasn't viable.
No, I don't think it was viable at the time. No. I hadn't worked all my 12 steps, so I wasn't in a place to do that.
And I wasn't in a place to get into recovery.
Yeah.
I think that's more than anything. I think that's what you saw. I think you saw the desire, but not the fucking willingness.
Mm-hmm. And I was more than willing to like walk with you on the fucking like the path, but I'm not going to guide you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I can show you the path, and we can walk together, but I'm not. I couldn't take the reins on that sort of situation.
Yeah,
and that's a hard thing to do, but sometimes you have to. Like you don't always say yes. Like I'll sponsor everybody.
I feel like we talked about like a situation where people were asking you at work. Like I feel like I remember this happening.
Yeah, one of them would, and he asked me again recently, and I was like,
"Did he really?"
Yeah, I was like, "Sure, show up to this meeting." He never showed up.
Yeah, so it's like, Billy did too. Billy came out for one.
Oh, really?
For one.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He likes all of our podcast recovery posts. So if you're listening, Billy,
Billy, come back out.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hey, always Billy. Welcome.
Shoot me a text, bro.
You're always welcome, my friend.
Like, share, subscribe, buddy.
Yeah. What you got, Miranda? You got anything else?
Nah, man.
You're out?
She's tapping out.
Eric, are you out?
I said I only had one, you know? Okay. Just a one and one. I don't have, you know, just
one. He had a one of one. Okay.
I just had a one. Shit. You know,
wait.
The one and one. I lost the other one in the fucking...
In the car seat? In the
car, dude.
God damn, I hate when that happens.
What were you about to say?
No.
Nothing.
No, man. No. Just like terrible thoughts I'm going to keep on my inside.
Absolutely.
That's growth.
You have to let those out, though. Growth is not keeping them on the inside.
Oh, shit. All right. I'm going to round out with one final question. It's going to be a two-parter.
Okay.
From David today.
What?
Oh, no.
Nothing.
No what?
No group questions from you today.
We can do a group question. Do you want to do a group question? I'll do a group question. All right, so we'll do that one first.
You had one ready?
How did we ignore red flags in our addiction? Like, because you're like, well, I'm getting arrested. I'm getting my third DUI, and I'm just continuing, like, you kind of knew you had a problem, but at the same time, it's like a level of complete denial of just like, oh, red flag, it's a red flag sale. like, how did you just completely just blow past all of them and just continue doing what you were doing?
Exactly what you said, denial. Mm-hmm. And just complete and utter disregard and not acknowledging it. Just being like, it is what it is. Acceptance is more, I think, is where I'm looking for. You know, it was just, this is how it is. This is what happens. I mean, you know, so many fucking red flags and so many consequences throughout the years of my using. You know, it would seem like every time I would try something new, I'd always get in trouble, and then I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because that's how my personality works, is that if I like something, and it could be anything, it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol, you know, if I like something, I'm going to fucking go on.
Yep.
No matter fucking what. You know, so it's acceptance, it's denial, and it's just, it's ignorance to it. It's just like, you know, I didn't have the knowledge that I have now of it either, that there is another way out. You know, there were avenues that I knew I could take, but again, I was like, fuck it. Why am I going to go down that? I don't want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be clean. I don't want to be clean. That was another thing. I didn't want to be clean.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm happy being a fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I thought I was.
Yeah.
So.
Rebel.
What about you, Eric? How were you ignoring your red flags?
Well, David.
so glad you asked.
Tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel.
I don't think I know. Like, I do think, yeah, I think there's definitely ignorance, like, first kind of time around.
Well, with you, everything kept getting better. So, like, it was really easy. It's true. He'd fail upwards, and it was
some
amazing.
Some things got better. Some things got worse. But I think a lot of the getting better, though, is partly work ethic and situation and, you know. I mean, you know I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
You know that. It's, like...
Oh, yeah. It wasn't accidental.
It's an issue we work on at therapy. But I don't know. Let me, like, I think, like, thinking about stuff now, like, okay, Fridays, right? Like, to me, Fridays when I was using was like, sweet. I'm getting paid. Mm-hmm. All right, this is going to cigarettes. This is going to alcohol. This is going to weed. This is going to, like, coke. We're going to buy a little, like, maybe, like, you know, a little bit. No, we got to buy more heroin. and you know what I mean? It's all parsed out. Like, I, you know, that's a red flag. I never had money because I always spent it. And then I had, like, a little bit for gas. And I'd have to steal quarters and cigarette, like, for cigarettes and gas. So I probably stole thousands of dollars in quarters and change.
So you never thought you had a problem?
No, I knew I had a problem. Remember, like, I gave into my addiction like when I was 17. Like, so once I knew it, it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? I guess I'm going to go to counseling. What do these fuckers know? Like, and then it's like, oh, cool. Like, now I'm in like this IOP group. It's like, sweet. Like, those are three new connects. All right. So, like, you know, there's lots of red flags, you know, not waking up, not going to work, but I've never been fired, right? Like, I don't really fail, like, at school very much.
You're such a dick.
I'm just saying, it's hard. I don't know, like, it's hard. It's easier in retrospect, right?
Yeah.
When you're, like, doing it, it's more of just, like, this is what I do. Like, what do you mean? You don't wake up and you just don't start snorting drugs? Like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, what do you do?
You know?
Crossword puzzles and loon? What about you?
Oh, about the red flags or crossword puzzles? Because
both.
Full of both.
I want to talk about the crossword puzzles, too. Yeah.
We'll table the crossword puzzles.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I... So,
because you had red flags on multiple fronts.
Oh, I mean, I am a.
You are a red flag.
I am, right? So I'm talking
is
to
that
Bill.
That would be your Halloween costume. That would be a good.
Oh, you know, a red flag. Fuck yeah. Yes.
Just throw red flags.
Right.
At people.
So I think part of it, right, is like the when you like. Whenever, at least I got to this point, I think you mentioned it, right? Like getting to that point in your active addiction where you're like, this becomes my identity. For me, mm-hmm. right, that was about owning the narrative. About like, I felt so like helpless against all of the shitty things I was doing where it was like, yeah, I'm not going to do better. I can't do better. Or like some things just like, I mean, I'm fucking a ball of anxiety.
Yeah.
Where like some things just felt too big to deal with. So like, is it denial or is it just like it's just even too much to look at, right? So like part of my story is like I ended up in the hospital 13 times or whatever, just like all this shit with like the red flags where it was like it's I mean, I guess it's denial, but I'm gonna like overthink it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where like it's just it's too much to look at, and like my brain, right? Like my brain was just like, we can't deal with this. We're just gonna fucking dissociate from it.
Mm.
And so like, right? I think for me, it was really like a survival mechanism because I didn't believe that I had the strength to do anything different.
Oh yeah,
wow. I like that.
That's my answer.
Yeah, that was a good one.
God damn, I don't even want to talk now.
Top that one, Dave.
Yeah. My red flags was a level of acceptance just because my self-esteem was so low that's genuinely what I felt I deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I remember freshman year of like college time era. I wasn't in fun college, but my friends were, and we were all about to get hemmed up. Mm. And I'm like, everybody give me the fucking drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, doing? So we were about to all, we were
get dealing, hemmed up?
Yes, by the cops. You're about to get fucking arrested.
I've never heard.
You never heard hemmed up?
Is this some weird Howard County thing? Hemmed up?
I guess.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway, so we're about to get caught up with the local authority.
Busted.
Yeah, about to get busted from the fuzz. And these guys are all in college, and I'm not. And I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. These guys have something to lose, and I don't. I was like, give me the fucking drugs. And then I would be the only one. I took the charge numerous times.
Yeah.
I know.
In that scenario, because I was like, they're going places. I'm a piece of shit. I'll take the charge. Mm-hmm. Also because I kept getting slaps on the wrist. So I was like, it's whatever, dude.
Right. That was
like,
the thing, yeah.
I was like, oh, what? I'm going to have to do some fucking drug classes?
Is that like
I'm
going
to have to pee clean once. Don't care.
Like some martyrdom in that, though, David?
Probably.
Right?
Like, there's multiple neuroses that falls under, I'm sure. But yeah, like I genuinely, like I was conditioned to that belief outside, internally and externally, that I like, this is what my life was, this is what I was worth, and so I was like, fuck it, I'll take the charge and I'll go on with my life. And just like you said, like, it is what it is. Like, yeah, like all of us have right answers.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a wrong answer to this question.
That like red flag, like, yeah, sometimes we compartmentalize them just to keep going. We see that the problem is too big to like, that's what we deserve.
We also
like,
justify them too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's lot of what I did is like, I'm sick, so I'm like okay with this.
Yeah, this shit happened to me, so I'm allowed to do this and that. Yeah, and yeah, red. Don't ignore the red flags, people. At least examine them as they're flapping in your face.
Right. And if you are a red flag for Halloween, please send it to us.
Oh, yes. Yep. Tag us on Instagram with your red flag pictures.
All right.
Love that. All right. Well, we are out of time. We would like to thank our friend Matt for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yay!
One last quick minute. Anybody needs that message of hope, what do you have to say directly to them?
Just get out there and get in the rooms. Even if you, you know, are scared and don't think you want it, just get in there and listen. Mm-hmm. You know, take the fucking cotton out of your ears, put it in your fucking mouth, man. Mm-hmm. And listen to what other people have to say and take suggestions. You know, recovery is a fucking beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. to not be bound by addiction. Yeah. I just can't say more about it.
All right. Well, thank you again. And here at Podcast Recovery, we're aiming to expand the scope of support for recovering addicts. Accessibility and convenience of health and services is paramount to combating addiction. We work to bring the message of recovery to every addict, wherever and whenever it is needed. We believe that a powerful voice of recovery should be attainable, practical, and at the touch of a button. Every addict deserves to hear a message of hope, and Podcast Recovery is here to provide it. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us once again. Go to all our social media outlets, I guess, Zombie Twitter now, which is X, I guess. Go to that.
Zombie like, Twitter,
yeah. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Now, like, it's fucking stupid that he named it.
It's fucking
like,
Twitter.
That's his go fucking, to fucking. He's named other companies X.
He's such a turd.
Like, he's done this before. Like, so how long have you fucking.
Elon, if you're listening, you fucking suck. like our Twitter. Instagram, Facebook, for more information about us, podcastrecovery.com. Like, share, subscribe. Help keep the mics on because we are self-supporting. Join our Patreon. But most importantly, everybody out there, stay safe and stay clean.